Every Sunday morning at 10:45, we gather in the sanctuary, plus or minus 2 or 3 minutes, to it's called our worship service, it's called the praise service. It's something that we do each and every Sunday. You are extended the opportunity to be engaged in worship and praise. I can give you instructions. I can ask you to do things as I did this morning. I asked you just to simply raise your hand. Some of you did, some of you didn't. I'm not going to judge whether you did or didn't. But it's an opportunity that's extended to you to show God, our Heavenly Father, that you love Him, that you worship Him. A praise service is made up of several different ingredients, sort of like baking a cake. Anybody here still bake a cake from scratch? There are a few that still bake a cake from scratch. If you bake a cake from scratch and you just say a pinch of this and a something of that, sometimes the cakes can take on different flavors, even though it's the same, supposedly the same event, right? And so our worship services are made up of different songs each Sunday, different passages of Scripture, and so the tone of what happens on a Sunday morning can vary. And sometime we're going to have your favorite cake. Maybe it's carrot cake. I don't know what a service would be made up that would be a carrot cake service, but I hope you understand where I'm going with this. We all have personal preferences and likes. And that's a big hindrance, and maybe I'm going to get way out of my notes here, but that's a big hindrance when we come into worship. If you come into worship with only your piece of cake in front of you, or you're disappointed if it's not your piece of cake, you're going to leave as empty as you came in, unless you yield to the power of the Holy Spirit to change your thought processes. But our worship services are made up of different ingredients. We sing, we pray, we preach, we give you the opportunity to give in offerings, tithes and offerings. I don't have the chain here this morning, but we've been speaking about our spiritual chain, the weak links of our chain. And I think maybe in a couple Sundays I'm going to speak to the strong links of our chain, or maybe the things that chain us, that hold us back. But it's a great word picture to have. But let me just say to you that your spiritual praise chain, the praise link of your spiritual life, should be one, must be one, that you are always seeking to make stronger. Praising God. There isn't a little recipe that you go by and you go, okay, I did that, thank you very much. Oh God, I hope you're pleased, and you go on. I trust and I pray that your praise experience is varied, but it is always growing, it is always moving, it is alive, and it is well. This morning I want to look at our praise, the discipline of praise that ambassadors of Christ must be involved in. I'm going to look at it through the four lenses of the when, where, and how. And what or why of praise. And this is all from Scripture, okay? And some of you are in a few minutes are going to stand up and you're going to read Scripture when it comes across the screen. Last week was the Super Bowl, all right? During the week, I don't remember exactly when it happened, but there was a parade in Philadelphia. Nobody knows the exact number, so I just threw up over 1 million people. Give praise to a football team. They received no monetary thank you from the team for being at the parade. It was just an emotional outpouring of, oh, hey, thanks, the Eagles won a Super Bowl. First one ever. First National Football League championship that they've won since 1960. Huh. And 1 million people showed up to give praise in one city. Whew. Made me think about the town that we live in, about 20,000 plus or minus. If we were to have a community praise service in a park this spring, we'll make it in the spring when the weather's nicer, I wonder how many people would just show up just to give God praise. Something to think about, because it may happen. All right? I want to see you there. All right? You want to see me there, right? All right. So, let's look at the ingredients of when. The Philadelphia fans showed up when they won a Super Bowl. If they had lost, there probably wouldn't be a parade. There may have been a riot, but in Philadelphia, there certainly wouldn't have been a parade because they had no reason to celebrate. But here we are. When should we as Christians praise God our Heavenly Father? When? It's a good question. 1 Chronicles 23:30. You see the reference on the screen. We are told that we are to praise God in the morning and the evening. Okay, so when you get up in the morning, or when you wake up, do you praise God? Is that like, oh God, thank you for the day? I just can't wait, God, to embrace what you have for me this day. In the evening, before you go to bed, or sometime in that evening, do you have a quiet time? 1 Chronicles 23:30. God, speaking to the writer of that, says that we are to give him praise in the morning and in the evening. Now, the writer of Psalm 34, verse 1, tightens it up a little bit. In Psalm 34, verse 1, we're told that we are to praise God all day, every day, always, without ceasing. Take a deep breath. Wow. Wow. That should keep you busy. That should keep you busy if you're looking for reasons, excuses, reasons to praise God in your day. And I will make the bold statement that if you follow those instructions, praising God in the morning and the evening, and you're looking for excuses, reasons to praise Him during the day, you will have no time to gripe or complain. I'm going to say that again. All right? I didn't know if some of you were asleep or what. All right? If you're going to praise God in the morning and the evening, you're going to praise Him all day, every day, always, 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 without ceasing. You should be too busy to find any time to gripe or complain, because there should be something in your day that you can give God praise for. Amen? Oh, boy. You're on board. That's good. And what a plan. Isn't it amazing that God would give us a plan like that? He would say, I want you to give me praise. I want you to give me praise. I want you to give me praise. Look for the good stuff in your day. Yeah, there's enough crud in our day to distract us. But He's saying, hey, children, would you rise above this stuff? Don't get caught up in that. And if we follow those instructions given to us in Scripture, there'll be no time for griping, complaining. What a plan. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? Amazing. A little illustration of that. A couple of weeks ago, I was having breakfast, and I like my eggs over easy. And not too easy, but not hard. Okay? You know how that is. And so the eggs came to me, and oh, man, they were hard. And I'm not much of a complainer. Because I asked Cynthia, I'll eat just about anything other than cottage cheese, olives, and anyway, there's a list. But anyway, so there was that little, boy, I'd sure like to have eggs over easy. These hard eggs, the yolk is just, but you know what? Right next to those two eggs over easy, hard, were four pieces of bacon. Huh. God is so good. God is so good. There is always something positive if you'll just get your mind off of what's negative and go to the positive. I choked down the eggs, and then I savored every bite of the four strips of bacon. God is good. God is so good. Look for the positive. It's there. It's there. Give Him praise. Whew, it'll change your day. All right, number two is the where. Okay, so if I'm going to praise Him in the morning and the evening, I'm going to praise Him all day. Well, God, I got to leave the house sometime. Really, you want me to do this morning and evening and then all day? I've got to go to work. God, this is really unrealistic. Crazy expectations, God. Do you really want me to do that? Well, what would be the answer? Yes. Because God said to do it, you better take it as God's word, and He's our King. And when the King says to do something, we go, yes, sir. So, again, God helps us in Scripture with the answers of the where. Psalm 22, verse 22. It's in the church. It's in the sanctuary. This should be easy for us to do. This morning, we were given opportunities. You were given the opportunity. It is an opportunity. I would love to stand up here and command you to do that, but then you wouldn't do it with the right reason. You should do it. Well, we're going to get to that in a little bit. But if there's any place that we as disciples, ambassadors of Jesus Christ, should worship, give Him praise, it should be in the sanctuary. You're here with fellow believers. This should be easy. This should be like, yeah, we can do that. We can say amen. We can raise our hands. We can do just about anything. You can just do about anything. And I don't think if you are doing it with praising God, I don't think I would talk to you afterwards and say, don't do it. I've been in church services as a kid where people got praised and they walked on the back of the pews. Whew. We kept waiting for one of them to fall, but they never fell. I've seen old men play leapfrog and down the middle aisle of a church, praising God. Okay? The days have long passed of taking out a hanky and waving it, right? Things change. Does that mean they're get better? I'm not going to go there. But if we don't praise God in the church, I'll make another bold statement. There ain't no way we're going to do it outside the four walls of the church. If you can't come in this sanctuary, sitting with fellow believers, and be energized by the Holy Spirit to worship and to praise Him, there ain't no... That's Iowa talk. There isn't any way that you're going to do it outside the four walls of this church. It just isn't going to happen. And that's a bold statement. But just check yourself. Just check yourself. The attitude you come into this sanctuary with affects your worship, and it affects you when you leave here. And I pray for us as a congregation that we will always come into this sanctuary wanting more of God and worshiping Him without embarrassment, without reservation. Number two, Psalm 96, verse 3. In the marketplace, how many of you have a job? How many of you wish you had a job? How many of your spouses wish you had a job? All right, the marketplace. That's where we work. That's where business gets done. Psalm 96, verse 3 says we are to take God with us into the marketplace. Don's, the organization that he's a part of, a Faith at Work, they invite chaplains like myself into businesses that they run as a witness to the employees that they're valuable beyond the physical. There is value in their spiritual lives as well. So the marketplace. Now, if you have a job, make sure you take God with you into that job. Let God be evident in your conversations. Let God be evident in your attitude toward the people that are around you. Let God spill out in the marketplace. Isaiah 42:11. From the mountaintop. Now that's figuratively. Mount Tom could get pretty crowded if we all showed up at Mount Tom sometime to give Him praise. But I'm going to say that that's a figurative piece of language in Isaiah 42. That could be anywhere. From the mountaintop. You've had an awesome, awesome day. Something has happened in your day and you just want to give God praise. Whew, go for it. Do it. Maybe stand up on a chair. Be careful, but just find a mountaintop and give God praise. Psalm 149, verse 5. This is one that we can all relate to. All relate to. Psalm 149, verse 5 says that we are to give God praise from our beds. You ever wake up in the middle of the night? God has woken you up in the middle of the night? And you're called to pray for somebody? Or a memory, something of the past day or week or your life flashes before you? And you're laying in your bed and you go, oh God, yes, wow, wasn't that amazing? Thank you. So we are to do it in the sanctuary of the church. We're to do it in the marketplace. We are to do it in the mountaintop. We are even to praise God from our beds. Isn't that amazing that God would cover every place that we can go? Why? Because He desires praise from us. He desires praise from us. There isn't a place where we can go where we shouldn't be ready and willing to praise God. No place. No place. And if you were to say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I've got a place. Let me just say two things to you. Maybe you shouldn't be in that place. Or maybe God has put you in that place to share His love with somebody there. There isn't a place where you can go and be where you shouldn't be ready and willing to give God praise. So how? How do we praise God? How do we praise God? Well, this stirs up a lot of issues in the church. Probably more than anything else. In fact, the how we are to praise God divides churches, it divides families, it divides friendships. More than that, it kills God's Spirit. It kills God's Spirit. Discord of the how we should praise God when it is allowed to open its hurtful, sinful mouth, it kills God's Spirit. I want you to hear that. Okay? The how. How should we praise God? This is a big one. This is a big one. Churches get divided over it. Friends are lost. Families are divided over it. And God's Spirit is killed when the discord over this question of how we should worship is allowed to raise its ugly voice, sinful voice, in the church. So I'm just going to go through the list of Scripture. So let's listen to how God wants us to praise Him. And this must come from a repentant heart. Praise to God can only come from a repentant heart. Judges 5:3 says that we are to do it with singing. Thank you for singing this morning. Again, God knows us very well, and He's not going to script it out for us. He's not going to say how or what we should sing. He just says, I want you to sing. Isaiah 42:11 says, with shouting. When was the last time you shouted in church? Anybody? Anybody want to shout? Just say amen real loud like a shout. Anybody? Amen. All right. There are some. Thank you. With shouting. Psalm 33, verses 2 and 3 say, with instruments. We have a piano. We have an organ. The piano gets played a lot more than the organ. Instruments. Again, there are passages of Scripture that do speak to instruments. The drums. The harp, horns, those kinds of things. We don't have those here. If you know how to play a horn, let me know. Or the drums, let me know. If you play the guitar, let me know. All right? We are to praise God with instruments. And I am so thankful for the instruments that we have and those that are obedient to use them to help us worship. Instruments. Psalm 47:1, with clapping. Now, you've heard me, those of you that have been around a while, you've heard me talk about my issue with clapping. Personally, I'd rather hear amens than clapping after Carol plays something or you're blessed by somebody. But clapping is okay. Clapping is okay. It's a praise to God. Everybody want to clap? Let's clap. Come on. All right. Did everybody clap? Is there anybody here that didn't clap? I'll let God answer that for me later. No, just kidding. All right, raising your hands. Psalm 63:4. I shared with some of you a couple years ago that somebody in this church challenged me that it was not biblical to raise your hand in worship. And I said, well, what Bible do you read? Psalm 63:4 says, raising your hands. I asked you to raise your hands earlier. Did you raise your hands? Did you acknowledge to God, give Him praise by raising of your hands? I trust and I pray that you did. Psalm 95:6 says we're to do it on our knees. I was thinking about this morning. I'm not going to chase that rabbit. Okay. On your knees, if you can. Even if you can't sometimes, just try it and see if God isn't honored by just your attempting to get down on your knees and pray. Malachi 3 says we give Him praise with our offerings. We receive your tithes and offerings each and every Sunday. That is an act of worship. It is an act of praise to God, our Heavenly Father. Psalm 100:2. With your service. Again, when you do something in the community, when you are out there, and the New Testament tells us that everything we are to do it as to God, our Heavenly Father, not to that lousy boss you've got. Oops. Be positive, right? Richard, do everything you do as to unto God. And then you know what? Who cares? I'm going to do the best I can, God. You're watching over me. Do it for God. Don't do it for the praise of men, because that doesn't go too far, does it? So, anyway, praising God. Finally, we're going to talk about the why. The why. And I would guess that there are some sitting here this morning, okay, then why should I praise God? What's the reason? We need reasons to do stuff. I need Cynthia to give me reasons that she needs me to do something. And it better be a pretty extensive list. No, I love her, so she maybe says it twice or three times. But anyway, we are that's human nature, right? Why? Why should I do it? A two-year-old? I think every one of our girls, they get to that certain age and the word out of the mouth is, why? 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 We're looking for reasons. We're looking for motivations to do things. So here's some reasons. Here's some motivation to give God praise. Genesis 14:20 says that we are to give Him praise for our deliverance. The children of Israel had just been taken out of... Oh, my marker fell. Oh, there it is. Or not the children. This is Abraham. Abraham had just rescued Lot. And they are now safe. Verse 20 says, "And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave Him a tenth of everything. It's the first reference of a tenth or a tithe in Scripture. But God's deliverance. What has God delivered you from? If you acknowledge that you're a sinner, which we all are, and you acknowledge that you need His saving grace and mercy, by faith you accept that, that's a reason to praise God. That's number one. Reason to praise God. You've been saved of your sinful self. Okay? Job 36:24. Somebody is going to stand and read that for us. Job 36:24. Who has that? All right. Job 36:24. See them on the screen. We're going to go down the left column and then we're going to go back up to Psalm 56. Find that and be ready. Job 36:24. All right, His mighty deeds. Again, think about your life. Who are you? Where are you? And just think about the good things that God has done for you. His deeds, His works in your life. Psalm 28:6.
Praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy.
All right, amen. If you have no reason to praise God, say a prayer, and then when He answers that and He hears that cry, give Him praise. Psalm 30:4. All right. Praise His holiness. He's a holy God. There are no gods like Him. He stands alone. Give Him praise. Psalm 56:10. All right. You ever pick up your Bible and just kind of praise Him for what's in here? How it's transformed your life? Whew, try it sometime. Just pick it up and say, God, thank You for Your Word. Give Him praise for how He speaks to you through His Word. Psalm 63:3. All right, His love, His kindness. And again, it says that our lips are going to glorify Him. Ooh, the element of praise. Psalm 92:2. Uh-oh, there we go. Proclaiming God's faithfulness to you, morning and night, and everything in between. And then John 3:16. Let's all say that together. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whew. There's a good reason to praise God, would you say? His love. He loved us, even in our sin, enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die. Huh, that's pretty good. That desire, that makes me want to just praise Him. And then, 1 John 4:19, looking for a reason to give God praise. We love because He first loved us. We've received His love, and now we love Him back. As I was working on this and writing these words out, the words of a song came to my mind, as often happens. Thinking about us, human beings, God's prized creation, the one that He desires praise from. What would that look like if we could all give Him praise? So the words of this song came to my mind, and I want to read the words for you. If we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole that stretches from sky to sky. Now just think about those words. That's speaking of you and me. If we could fill the ocean with ink, and if every stalk on earth was a quill, and every man, you and me, were a scribe, and we were to write the reasons to praise God, His love to us, how I've experienced it, how I recognize it, how I know it, to write it on the sky would drain the ocean dry, and the sky is not big enough to contain all that we should write. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever more endure. The saints and angels' song. The saints, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a saint. The angels, that's what we do. In Scripture, we read passages that the angels praise God all the time. That they're just giving worship to God. That's what He wants from us, morning to evening and everything in between. The love of God, how rich and pure. I trust and I pray that you have experienced this. Psalm 117, verse 2. For great is His love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ever, ever. I'm only going to be here for a while. I don't know when God's going to call me home. You don't know it either. But God's love, a reason to praise Him is forever, forever. And then praise the Lord. I invite you to stand this morning. Praising God is not an option. Praising God is not an option. Praising God is birthed in the hearts and mouths of all who believe in Jesus. If you are uncomfortable, if you cannot, if you question the truth of Scripture today when it comes to praising God, you need to begin on your knees and ask God to forgive you for your sins. Because there's something that is hindering your heart's cry to praise Him. Praising God is not an option for those of us who call on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your love and your care for us. Thank you for speaking to us so clearly as you do through Scripture. Thank you for your holy word. We give you praise. Oh, this collection of Scripture. It speaks to me. It speaks to us of what you desire to see in us and from us. And today we've spoken about the element of praise. A simple thing of raising our hands and giving you worship. If it's not in our heart, the raising and worshiping with hands raised, it's empty. So, Father, I would pray for us as a congregation that we would be enriched by your Spirit. So that the shouting and the singing and the raising of hands and the worship and praising you would come from our hearts. It would be evidence. It would be you moving in us and through us. Sharpen our words this week. Sharpen our words with your praise. May our conversations be sweetly sprinkled with giving you praise. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Again, as only you can, through the power of your word. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go and be a blessing to somebody today.